Father, we thank you this morning for your blessing. And Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, now as we share the word this morning, I pray, Father, it would speak to hearts, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we hear a lot of talk as you listen to various ministers on maybe radio or television or other means. Maybe read some books. And the question keeps coming up, as it's come up for the last 2,000 years, and that question is, when is Jesus coming? I'm probably older than most of you in here, except maybe Art, and I've heard that question all my life. When is Jesus coming? I mean, let's face it, the disciples were asking that question just shortly after he ascended back into the heavens. Well, when's he coming back? They were expecting him to come back at any time. I mean, they would have not been the least bit surprised if he'd have shown up the next week, because that's what they were expecting. So the question has been asked for almost 2,000 years, when is Jesus coming back? Well, here's what the Bible has to say about one of the subjects on it. And it says in Matthew 24, 36, when Jesus was asked this question, when will you come back? He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only my Father knows when I'll return. After I've ascended up into the heavens, he knows when I'll come back. It's his decision. He will make that decision. He will make that determination. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about, well, it's going to be 2012. It could be. I don't know. It could be 2011. It could be 2018. It could be some other time. I don't know. Jesus himself said he didn't know. I did find it interesting, and just one little comment here, because there's a book out right now, and I can't remember the title of it, but it's some person has put this book out and said they know the year, they just don't know the day that Jesus is coming back. Well, unfortunately, there's been a lot of people over the last several hundreds of years that have said Jesus is coming back in such and such time. And the followers of this particular group, whatever it was, may have sold all their possessions and gathered someplace and put on white robes and waited for Jesus to come back. And then when it didn't happen, well, there was one prophet with quotes around the word prophet there who probably the folks weren't too happy with, you know. As they've sold everything, they've gathered at this place, and Jesus is going to come back at this time. And it didn't happen. And some organizations, religious organizations, I guess I should clarify that, have said Jesus was coming back at such and such a time. And when that time, well, we misinterpreted that. It's this time, and it's this time. And they've set the date so many times that I think finally they quit setting dates, you know. So we can't set dates. But one thing I did find there, and I just kind of wanted to throw this in as a little tidbit, as I look to find where it says, and Jesus is speaking here, only not the day nor the hour, but it never says the year. And I thought, well, is it possible that we could figure out the year? I don't know. There may be signs that Jesus put in the Bible, and there may be signs that are that God put in the Bible through the Holy Spirit that might lead us to that information. I don't know. There's a lot of things in the Bible that we still don't even understand. And we've had the New Testament for 2,000 years. We've had the Old Testament a whole lot longer than that. And there are still things in there that we don't completely understand. But as God begins to reveal them to us, we begin to understand them more. But we still don't know when Jesus is coming back. But he did say that there were certain things that would transpire and take place prior to his coming. And I know there's one particular group out there, the term for them is preterists, and they believe it all happened around AD 7, that Jesus came back then, everything was fulfilled. But I got to say, I'm awfully disappointed if they were right. because this just sure doesn't look like what I thought heaven would be. You know? And it sure doesn't go by what the Bible said heaven would be like. So I don't think they were right. And of course, we have other groups that believe different things. But Jesus had a lot to say about when he did come, though, or when he was coming back, although he did say, you will not know the day nor the hour. In Luke chapter 12, verses 39 through 40, he says this, And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. I want to read this in another translation. It says, but notice this. No house owner would let his house be broken into if he knew when the thief was coming. You too be ready, for the Son of Man will come when you are not expecting him. I don't know if anybody here has ever had their house broken into, but were you expecting it? No. I remember a number of years ago, the house we were living in had a little screened-in porch, a little small one, not bigger than the average bathroom in a house. And we had our washer and our dryer out there. And we were normally gone to church on Wednesday night. And that particular Wednesday night, for some reason, they were not having church. I believe that they were having something special and they were having it on Thursday night rather than Wednesday night. But we left at the normal time on Wednesday night. And we came back shortly thereafter. And when we walked into the house, we noticed something was amiss. And found out that somebody had come in and they had opened a window in the kitchen from off of this porch and crawled in over the kitchen sink and probably went out the back door as we came in the front door. You see, they knew what time we left on Wednesdays and this, that, and the other, and they figured we were going to be gone. But we weren't expecting anybody to break into the house, weren't giving it the least bit of thought that somebody would come while we were gone and break into our house. And prior to that, one time when I was still in high school, I believe, I was living at home, and my mother used to babysit, and sometimes she had to keep the kids overnight. And this one particular night, she had kept the kids overnight, and my dad decided to sleep on the couch in the living room that night. And he said he got the best night's sleep in his life. Except when he woke up, his wallet was missing. You see, somebody had come into the house and had sprayed something in the air that apparently helped him to sleep a little bit better, took his wallet and left. They did this not only to our house, but several of the neighbors' homes. In fact, the police department said he's spraying something in the air that's causing people to sleep better. And they're not waking up while he's in there. You see, the thief comes when we're not expecting him. Because if you were expecting the thief, you'd be ready. You know, you've seen some houses have signs. This is this house guarded by Smith & Wesson, you know. Or this house guarded by, and you got a picture of this big, huge, vicious dog on there. You'd be ready for him. You'd be saying, come on, I'm waiting, you know. Well, that's why the thief comes when we're not expecting him. And Jesus has said, my coming is going to be like that. You are not going to be ready. And I'll have to say, in this day and hour, the majority of the world is not ready for Jesus to come back. Oh yeah, there are some of us Christians who are expecting him at any time. And we're saying, yeah, it could be this particular time or whatever, but I know he's coming soon. I expect he could come before we leave this building this morning. He could. But he may not. I don't know. But I'm expecting, but the majority of the world is not expecting Jesus to come back again. In fact, there are some folks who say he's never coming back. That's an old wives' tale. It's a story that's just been passed down for 2,000 years, and it's not going to happen. One thing I can assure you really, though, that we need to clarify here on Jesus coming back. And this is possibly going to shock some of you when I say this. I expect it to be at least 7 years from now. I get looks, I get stares. 7 years from now? Because there's one thing that a lot of people tend to forget. In church, we talk about the rapture of the church, and we talk about the second coming of Jesus. And the second coming of Jesus is when he actually comes back and sets foot on the Mount of Olives and makes that literal return. The rapture is that point in time which we, which are alive, and those that are in the grave rise to meet him in the air, and he doesn't touch foot on earth. That's not actually the second coming. That's his coming for the saints. That's his coming to take them out. And that could be any time. But according to what the Bible says, it will be 7 years from that time before he comes back and sets foot on the Mount of Olives. And that's his actual physical second coming. So I know it's at least 7 years away for that part of it. But that first part, that gathering the saints, that causing us to rise to meet him in the air if we're still alive, and or if we're in the grave to be risen out of that grave, that could happen any time. And Jesus, of course, in Matthew 24, verse 3 says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, it's not really the end of the world, it's the end of the age. Planet Earth is still going to be here, but this age is going to come to an end. And it's the age, basically, of the church. When we rise to meet him in the air, a new age starts. You know those people that got there that a new age movement? Yeah, their age is going to start one of these days. You know? And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people going to be glad to see us gone. If you witness on the job, there'll be people who go to work the day after the rapture takes place and says, I see so-and-so's not here. I'm sure glad he's gone. You know, there'll be people like that. There'll be some people that will be glad you're gone. But Jesus talked to his disciples and he told them about the signs that would happen, what would take place, some of the things that would happen before his coming. Revelations chapter 19, he talks about his actual physical return. But during that particular period of time, a lot of signs will have taken place, and we see the things happening out there. You're reading, and if you read the scriptures there about what will take place, and Jesus says will be the signs prior to his coming, which can be his actual physical coming, but it can also be the rapture of the church, signs that will happen around that time. All we've got to do is look at what the Bible has to say and listen to the news. And you see all of these things taking place. And some of them that we thought surely would never happen, especially to us Christians here in America. Oh yeah, we expected some of them to happen in some of these foreign countries that, you know, we call them third world countries, and some of these things could happen, but it's not going to happen to us. But boy, are we starting to experience some of that stuff. And let me tell you, if Jesus delays his coming much longer, we're going to see a lot worse things happen. You think it's bad now. You say, uh-oh, he goes to gloom and doom. No, I'm just telling you what the Word of God has to say. And if you listen to what the world has to say, that's what's going to happen. The day is coming, if Jesus tarries much longer, that it could possibly be that you as a Christian living in the United States of America could have to give your life for the gospel of Christ. Or actually, I should say, have it taken from you because of your belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It happens in other parts of the world right now. It could happen here. It's happening in other countries that we never thought it would happen in. Oh, that only happens in some of the third world countries. No, it happens in some of the first world countries as well anymore. So Jesus is coming back. After something called the tribulation, Jesus says this in Revelations 19, as John is having this revealed to him, he says, "And I saw the heaven open, and behold, on a white horse, and he that sat there upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And I want to stop right there just a moment. There's two cases of white horses in the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming back on a white horse. But guess who else it talks about on a white horse? Antichrist. Now there's another group out there today that talks about a white horse. And they're looking for that rider on that white horse to come too. And he's the same one as the Antichrist that they're looking forward to. But Jesus is coming back in chapter 19 here on a white horse. It says, "He who is faithful and true and righteousness, he does judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." Now, for those who say, well, the rapture doesn't take place till the end of the tribulation, there's a question that arises right there, because the Bible also talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, some other things that take place during the tribulation period. But if the rapture takes place at the end of the tribulation, that means that we got to come right back. So it leaves us some questions there as to how would all these other events take place if it happened at that point. But anyway, he's coming back with the saints of heaven behind him, the armies of heaven, as it says here, followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I mentioned a while ago about some of these groups that stood out there on mountaintops because Jesus was coming back on such and such day at such and such time, and they put on their white robes. Got news for you. You don't need to run out and buy a white robe and keep in your closet for just in case. Because Jesus is going to give you that white robe. Amen. Doesn't say that when the dead in Christ rise first and those who are alive and remain rise to meet him in the air, that they have to have a white robe on when that happens. It says because when that takes place, we will be changed. And that's when you get a white robe. There is no white robe here that's worthy of being there. You know? So don't run out and spend your money on a white robe just in case. Because Jesus is going to give you a better one. And the great thing about it, it will wear out. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Oh, I know that sometime in the not too distant future, that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords is coming back, and he's going to set foot on planet Earth. And I'll tell you, things are going to be different then. Back last year when we had the election, the party that's now in power got into power by preaching a message of change. And let's face it, a lot of folks are looking for change. There's things out there we don't like. We'd like to see changed. Every one of us, irregardless of your political affiliation, there are things you'd like to see changed. Well, I'll tell you, there's going to be some changes take place on planet Earth when Jesus comes back. War, gone. Robbery, gone. Drug problems, gone. Starvation, gone. Sickness, gone. Because Jesus is here and he's in charge. He's coming back. Now, I said tribulation there, and some folks would say, "What tribulation?" Because you see, if we look around, the world's got some tribulation going on. There's been tribulation going on. Actually, there's been tribulation for the saints of God, whether it was Old Testament or New Testament, and going on all throughout history. God's people, the Jews, the children of Israel, were persecuted before Jesus ever came to earth and was born as a baby. There was persecution. Let's face it, their time in Babylon and some of these other countries that they were captive in was a time of persecution. Part of it they brought on themselves, but they went through persecution. Daniel being thrown in the lion's den was persecution. There were other times of persecution. And since Jesus ascended back into the heavens, and we read about it beginning with the book of Acts, persecution of those who were followers of Messiah. And when the last word was written in the New Testament, from that time on till now, there's been persecution of the saints of God. From one place or another, from one avenue or another, there's been persecution, there's been tribulation. There's been tribulation of saints of God in other countries. I've mentioned it before. I had a friend in the country of Trinidad who, when he became a Christian, his family wanted him dead. Because he had gone against their faith now. He was serving this Jesus person. Must kill him. He had to endure some persecution, some tribulation there. But you know what? When I met him, most of his family had become Christians by then. You see, being a Christian in another part of the world isn't like it is here. We've still got some freedom of religion here. But in a lot of countries, to become a Christian means putting a target on your back, basically. The moment you say, I'm a Christian, they're out to get you. And you endure tribulation and persecution. So some would say, what tribulation? We got tribulation going on right now. We got tribulation going on in this country, persecution going on in this country. When a person stands up for God and they get arrested or they get thrown out or whatever of whatever they're doing because they're standing for God. And we see it happening. Freedom of speech. We pride ourselves on freedom of speech, but if you get up and talk about Jesus in some places, see how fast you get set back down or thrown out. Because nobody wants to hear about that. Well, the Bible talks about a great tribulation. In Matthew 24:21, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So you see, we haven't got to the part that the Bible talks about as being the great tribulation, because there'll never be one like that again. It only happened one time. And the Bible talks about it being for a 7-year period of time. The first half of it, certain things will take place. For some people, it won't be all that bad. But for other people, it will be a bad thing. But then it's going to get really nasty during the second half of it, the second 3.5 years. And that's when the iron rule of the Antichrist kicks into place. When Christians begin to lose their heads. You see, there will be people who get saved during the tribulation period. The Bible tells us there will be. You say, well, if Jesus raptures the church is gone. But there'll still be people that will get saved. The Bible tells us there will be. There'll be people who were, for whatever reason, wishy-washy is a good word for it, I guess. Well, I halfway believe, you know, but I'm not quite whatever, you know. And they'll suddenly realize, or maybe mom and dad or grandma and grandpa said something to them and tried to raise them up right. And they knew what the Word of God had to say, but they missed the rapture. Some of those folks are going to get saved. I believe that, because they're going to know the truth. You see, the Holy Spirit's not going to be around convicting people, but these folks are going to know the truth, and they're going to say, I missed it. And if I want to get to heaven, the Bible has already told me there's only one way it's going to happen now. So there'll be those that know the truth, and some of them will convince other people of the truth. The Bible talks about 144,000 that will get saved. Well, folks believe that's just Jewish people that would be getting saved during that time, and most likely that's the case. But there'll be other folks too that get saved. There'll be Gentiles that get saved during that time. Some people say, well, do I get a second chance? I guess if you can consider anything, if you miss the rapture, you've got a second chance in the sense you've still got an opportunity to get your heart right with God, but you better make it quick. Because first of all, if they even suspect that you might have any leanings toward that, you're in trouble already. So you got all this going on. Oh yeah, for the people that have been following the ways of the devil, hey, that first part of the tribulation is going to be pretty cool for them. They've got what they wanted. I mean, their quote-unquote God is in charge now, in their mind anyway. And really, in a way, here on planet Earth, that's kind of the way it will be. He'll be in charge for a little bit of time there. So this tribulation will take place. Ah, but then Jesus comes back and it ends. And he sets up his kingdom. You know, the Bible talks about the millennial reign. We call the millennial reign the 1,000 years when Jesus rules. Talks about Satan being cast bound for 1,000 years. Also goes on and talks about he's released for a season, it says, at the end of the 1,000 years. And some people say, well, what happens there? Well, I got news for you. Jesus' kingdom doesn't end when the 1,000 years end. His kingdom goes on forever and ever. He will rule forever and ever. Oh, the devil may get out of jail, so to speak, for a brief period of time. But you know what the Bible also tells us? That shortly thereafter, he is going back forever. Be cast into the bottomless pit forever. How long is forever? Well, it's an awfully long time. There is no end to forever. So when is Jesus coming? Well, I don't know. I know it's soon. And you say, well, what happens if he doesn't come for 30 years? And you said it was soon today. It's still soon. But I do know one thing. He is coming. I don't doubt just because he didn't come 50 years ago when people thought he was coming and it didn't happen. Just because he didn't come then, I don't doubt by any means that he's not come. Think that he's not coming. He is coming. And like the Bible said, it's going to catch a lot of people off guard. It's going to be sooner than a lot of people think. In Revelation 22, verses 6 and 7, here's what Jesus says. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. You see, the Bible also tells us God looks at time differently than we do. It says a day, an hour is as a thousand, or a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So, in God's way of viewing time, this could only be 2 days. So when he's saying here, behold, I come quickly, in God's point of time, that may only be 2 days. So 2,000 years since this was written, or just about 2,000 years. He goes on in Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the and the end, the first and the last. Then, in Revelation 22:20, he which testifieth these things said, surely I come quickly, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. 3 times here, in one chapter, I come quickly. I come quickly. It could be any time. The thing to do is to be prepared for it. To be prepared as if he were coming in the next instant. But I know that we have to go out and we have to live for tomorrow as well. We have to say, well, I'm not going to go to my job tomorrow because Jesus is coming soon. No, you still got to go to work. You still got to earn the living for your family, take care of your needs, things like that. But you still got to live like, but he can come any second now. I may not get to work tomorrow, praise God. But if he doesn't come between now and then, I'll go to work tomorrow. And he may come before I go home. I don't know. Live like he's coming at any time. And if you're listening to me today by the internet or by MP3 or some other media means, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you this. It's time to make your heart right with God. It's time to accept Jesus Christ into your life. It's time to ask him to be your personal Savior. It's the time to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. It's the time to say, I can't go on without you. I want to be ready. I want to be in heaven with you. I want to accept you right now and ask him into your heart. If you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to ask him into your heart right now by saying, Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, and forgive me of my sin. And come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin, because I want to live with you for eternity. In Jesus' name. And if you've done that, and if you need some more help on that, and you need some verses to read, if you go to our website, www.tlhf.org, there's a section on there, How to Be Saved. It gives you the scriptures that you need to know. Tells you how to accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life. And I invite you to do that today. And Father, I now thank you for the word that you have given us, for the day that you have given us. And I pray, Father, that hearts and lives would have been touched. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.